Big banks want to ease a rule put in place after the financial crisis that requires them to keep a cash cushion for swaps trades. They say easing the rule could free up $40 billion.
Big banks say these types of swap contracts aren't actually that risky and that they should be able to use the money elsewhere.
Plus, trade tensions between the U.S. and China send U.S. stocks to steep declines. And a $2 million gene therapy drug raises new questions about drug costs. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to our main story on efforts to roll back financial regulations, here are some other top stories we're following. Uncertainty over trade roiled U.S. markets Tuesday, even as China agreed to continue talks in Washington on Thursday. The Dow ended the day down 473 points, the Nasdaq lost nearly 2%, and the S&P 500 fell 1.7%. The Wall Street Journal's Akane Otani has more on what shook investors.
There's a lot of worry that built up overnight Monday after some of the Trump administration officials confirmed that the U.S. will raise tariffs on Friday to 25% from 10% on Chinese goods, which basically showed the White House doubling down on the tweets that Trump had sent over the weekend and confirmed a lot of the fears that investors have been wrestling with throughout this year. I mean, for a lot of the year, we saw stocks rising because folks were saying, it looks like something is going to work out on trade. But the developments of the last few days have really shown investors that it's a little too early to assume that everything's going to work out.
Chip makers, tech companies, and retailers who depend on China for their business were hit the hardest on Tuesday. For more of our markets coverage, head to WSJ.com or the WSJ app. The Wall Street Journal reports that the White House directed former counsel Don McGahn to rebuff a subpoena for documents related to special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. McGahn spent more than 30 hours speaking with Mueller's investigators. The House Judiciary Committee is seeking documents from McGahn related to the investigation. The president has vowed to fight congressional subpoenas related to the Mueller report as lawmakers and the White House fight over congressional oversight efforts. The House Judiciary Committee has set a vote for Wednesday over whether to hold Attorney General William Barr in contempt after the Justice Department failed to meet a deadline set by lawmakers for the release of the full report. Big banks are betting on recouping billions of dollars as regulators consider easing rules put in place after the financial crisis. Joining me now from Washington, D.C. with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Lalita Clozel. Lalita, this involves rules that require large lenders to have a cash cushion against bad derivatives trades. Why are big banks trying to roll back this restriction?
So big banks are trying to roll back a particular measure that was imposed as part of a broad swath of new swaps restrictions after the financial crisis. That specific part of it would impose margin requirements or collateral requirements on swaps made between different parts of the same company. And so the banks argue that when they're doing that, they're actually trying to centralize and even out their own risk exposure, and so that those swaps made within the company should be exempt.
And this push comes under an administration that has rolled back other restrictions that were put in place after the financial crisis. I have to imagine that's raising some concerns from proponents of those rules.
Right, and including some of the regulators who were there when those rules were initially imposed. Well, they feel that if you take away some of these restrictions, you could put the U.S. regulators and the U.S. government at risk if something were to happen to a U.S.-based bank, that if you allow them to push the risk into the U.S. institution by basically centralizing their risk and moving their exposure, that could create problems if one of these banks were to fail or if we face a financial crisis again.
As you write, though, the big banks are expecting they could get back billions of dollars if this regulation is eased.
Right. So the banks argue that this is tying up liquidity for them, that if those restrictions were eased, they would be able to use that money to do other things.
And Lalita, how is the Trump administration responding to this particular rule that big banks are hoping to roll back?
So historically, the regulators have been wary of changing those rules, and particularly one big holdout among the regulators was the Federal Deposit Insurance Corp, the FDIC, which ultimately serves as an insurance company for the banks. And so since they are ultimately on the hook if something happens to a bank there. They have been traditionally more conservative on these types of issues. Now under a new head, who was appointed by Trump, Yelena McWilliams, they are considering reviewing those regulations.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Lolita Clozel joining me from Washington. Thank you so much, Lolita.
Thanks, Anne-Marie.
Now, onto some more headlines from the Wall Street Journal. A new drug treatment for infant muscle wasting disease is expected to go on sale soon, with an estimated $2 million price tag. The Wall Street Journal's Denise Rowland has more details.
Zolgensma is a new gene therapy. It treats a disease called spinal muscular atrophy, which is this terrible, terrible disease that afflicts little babies. They're born with it. It means they're missing a gene that's required for muscle control. What that means is they never really gain any strength. So they spend the years that they do have just getting weaker and weaker. They need help breathing and eating. And what Zolgensma does is it actually introduces the gene they're missing. And so it's effectively curing the disease. Babies who've got this in clinical trials are reaching milestones. If you give it to them really early, like before 6 weeks, those babies go on to develop on a normal time frame. So it's a really extraordinary therapy. It's also got an extraordinary price tag. We don't know what the price is officially yet. Novartis has guided somewhere in the multi-millions. Analysts assume it'll be $2 million. That would make it the most expensive drug to ever have gone on sale. It presents a really interesting dilemma for health insurers. It's no doubt an amazing treatment, but it raises the question of, what should a cure cost? And as more and more of these sorts of therapies go on sale, how will they be afforded?
Rowland says gene therapy drugs like Zolgensma are receiving more interest.
Gene therapy has held promise for many decades, but commercially speaking, the first one went on sale a year or two ago in the US. It's for a form of sight loss. That's called Luxturna. It comes with a high price. It's $850,000 for both eyes. There are kind of related therapies called cell therapies, also new on the market last couple of years. These are the types of treatments that, for instance, you would genetically modify some of your T cells, your immune cells in your body to attack cancer. They're sort of a class of drugs. The FDA thinks 10 to 20 a year will be getting approved by 2025. So it's a trickle now, but it's going to become a real stream.
As the cost of gene therapy drugs prompts insurers to come up with new payment models, the Wall Street Journal wants to know what you think. Why are drug prices so high? Tell us your thoughts by visiting our website, WSJ.com, or emailing us at whatsnews@WSJ.com. General Motors driverless car unit Cruise has brought in $1.2 billion in outside financing. The company says it received an equity investment from institutional investors, including mutual fund company T. Rowe Price, as well as current investors SoftBank and Honda. The new investment brings Cruise's valuation up to $19 billion, more than a third of GM's market value at Monday's close. Vacancies are rising along Manhattan's Fifth Avenue. The avenue, which runs about 10 blocks from Saks Fifth Avenue at East 49th Street to the southeast corner of Central Park, is still a major tourist attraction. But the rise of e-commerce has made major retailers less willing to pay astronomical rent. Brokerage firm Cushman & Wakefield says average ground floor asking rents on the prime stretch were $2,779 a square foot in the first quarter. That's down 11% from their peak. And the availability rate for vacancies and expiring leases that haven't yet been filled hit 25% over that same period, which the firm says is its highest availability rate since it started tracking in 2006. That's what's news for Tuesday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.